the Around the NFL podcast.
It's working on its English accent.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, teeming with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
What is up?
Teeming.
Just teaming.
Oh. I mean, we're all together. We haven't had many of these. I'm excited for this show.
We've had hundreds of these.
Mark took some heat on Twitter a couple days ago for not being in.
Really?
Somebody said that you were the Johnny Carson of the show, and I thought that was a little...
I think it's misunderstood that if we're not here on a Monday, it's because we're on vacation. It's actually because we work on Saturday.
On the weekends and whatnot. No, I'm excited. And I've been looking towards this show in particular as the one that Mark is going to lead the way. He's kind of the key to this whole podcast. We're talking about leadership skills. It's your time, Mark.
All right, let's do it. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not sure where that's coming from.
All right. By the way, I'm excited about Mark today. There is a salty Sessler in the air, and you never know what happens. And TD, I would say keep on your toes.
Oh, yeah.
Because when that happens, everything's up in the air. Here we go. We got a big show today. Big show. We're going to get Bookie Brooks back in here because as we get closer and closer to the draft, you want to talk to a guy that's plugged in. And who's more plugged in than Bookie Brooks, our big-time college football analyst? And he knows a lot about the pros, too. He played in the NFL. So we'll get him in here to talk. We're going to go through Greg, who's, you know, shepherds this group. He retired into a meeting with several shadowy league figures and came up with an entire free agent superlatives breakdown for us to go through day by day, where we're breaking down all different elements of free agency and the post that we put up on Wednesday, the best fits in free agency and also the best under the radar fits. So we have that up on the website.
And by meeting, you mean I basically copied and pasted what we did last year. Let's do this again.
A good magician never reveals the secrets. And then, of course, what we always do, we do the news. So we check in with the great TD. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing?
We're doing good. Things are good, you know?
Yeah. How's Mark? Doing good, buddy?
I'm fine.
Well, let's do it. Let's hit the news.
All right. Let's do it.
I was designed to save the world.
That wasn't Transformers or anything.
No, it wasn't, guys. Have you guys heard this? The latest Avengers trailer, the social media buzz today for this. Avengers trailer. So here's
what's an
Avengers?
No, you need to know your audience, and your audience in this case is not all the listeners. In this case, it's us. We don't know the Avengers.
Can we have a drop sometime that doesn't include a superhero?
Well, it's up to you guys to keep the world updated on NFL world, and it's up to us to keep you guys updated on pop culture.
Yeah,
trust me. Right, we know what's going on in pop culture, but you don't force feed us the superheroes.
Yeah, because who would hear about this big indie movie, The Avengers, without you promoting it?
By the way, you call it the latest because there's been too many of them.
Well, there's been two trailers, and this is the third one.
I didn't realize our podcast audience is 8-year-olds.
Well, they are.
Wow. Probably.
According to Wes, you know, just saying. But by the way,
I do like that one.
Let's start. Be better, TD. Come on. Let's start with LeSean McCoy. The big news that broke on Tuesday. LeSean McCoy out of Philly, traded to the Buffalo Bills for Kiko Alonso, the linebacker. One of the biggest, you know, player for player swaps we've seen in years, perhaps a decade going back to Mark, I think you pointed it out on Twitter. It was exactly 10 years to the day prior that there was the big Clinton Portis for Champ Bailey trade. So now LeSean McCoy heading up to Orchard Park. Kiko Alonso to Philly. Start with Chris Wessling. Who won this trade?
I think both teams won, but I know the Eagles caught more flack for it, and I see this from their point of view. And to me, Chip Kelly is sort of in a situation where Bill Belichick was when he came to New England. He's going to institute his system. He's going to make unpopular moves. But $12 million against the cap for a running back who declined across the board last year. And to me, I mean, he averaged, Greg had this stat earlier in the day, of the 19 players with 250 touches, he had the lowest per touch average in the NFL. 4.3 yards per touch. Darren Sproles averaged 7.4 behind the same offensive line. He just wasn't as productive as he needed to be drawing $12 million against the cap.
I don't think any running back is. I think that's part of it, is that, that they must have asked. There must have been some conversation behind the scenes where they said, listen, you're talented. We want to keep you around, but not at that price tag. And they balked. And NFL media's Michael Silver says that they called up the Bills and the conversation was 20 minutes long. That's
how
incredible.
Great is that? That's how it should be. That's terrific. It's like
fantasy football.
It's like, we like Kiko Alonso. And they're like, really? We could get McCoy? Hey, Rex, you like LeSean McCoy? Yeah, let's do it. You know, like, that was pretty much it.
You know, one thing I think is a little unfair. I know McCoy wasn't as good last year, but he's still, I think he's going to be, this is his age 27 season coming up.
Yes.
Isn't it seem a little premature to say that he's in decline? And sometimes players don't always have, they can't top each year prior. And he was the best running back in the league 2 years running before this past season, which was still 1,500 total yard season. He wasn't a bad running back.
Well, and behind a line that used 11 linemen last year, they were not what they were the year before. That was a factor.
That was a factor, and that's why I think it is a win-win. I don't think that's so crazy. We don't have to have a hot take. I think Philly has the safer side. It's hard to see this going too poorly for them, because I think Chip Kelly believes he can plug in another running back into his system and have it work, and I kind of believe it too. I mean, he got rid of DeSean Jackson. He's creating yards. It's a deep running back crop in the draft and free agency. I think that'll all be fine, but it wouldn't shock me if LeSean McCoy continues what has so far been on track for a Hall of Fame consideration type of career. We don't think of McCoy like that, and he's going to have to keep going in this trajectory. All I'm saying is, if you look at his six first years in the league, he's been one of the 25, let's say, best players at any position. And so if you're going to bet and take a risk with a guy, it's not like his salary's that crazy. It's $8 million a year. Both the Eagles and the Bills have plenty of cap room, so they could fit that in. And it's not crazy to imagine McCoy having two really good seasons with them.
I think this trade is about resource allocation. You know you have a competitive advantage.
Resource allocation.
Yeah, corporate.
Chip Kelly's offensive system gives them a competitive advantage, so why not allocate your resources to defense?
Sure.
They need to overhaul the secondary. You put Kiko Alonso along with Michael Kendricks, you have possibly the league's fastest inside linebacker duo, and you've got a good defensive line, so you build up a better defense and put all your money on that side of the ball.
And we know that he values, we've heard this over and over the last 24 hours, it's quarterbacks and offensive linemen is what he puts his, that's where he wants his money, if anything. And it is interesting, though, from an angle of, is he under pressure like Belichick was to some degree? Even in that first Super Bowl season in New England, they got off to a bad start, and people wanted Belichick's head. And if it happens in Philly, in two back-to-back seasons where you've let DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy walk out the door, if you get off to an ugly start, people in that city are going to go crazy.
But they would no matter what in Philly.
Sure.
And that's why I love Chip Kelly. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about taking the criticism. He just does it.
He has a strong vision and a singular philosophy, and that's why I think he's similar to Belichick.
But the one thing is, and I've talked about this, about him being the genius, and no one can outthink the great Chip Kelly. Let me calm down a little bit. He hasn't shown anything in the NFL beyond a couple decent seasons. So if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm not completely all in on Chip Kelly definitely making the right decisions here. He's hanging his onions here a little bit, and I respect that, and I think, Greg, it's part of the reason why you like what he's doing here, because he doesn't care what other people think. But also, this is pretty risky. You're giving away the best deep threat in the league, arguably, last year, and now you're getting rid of one of the best running backs of his generation in his prime this year.
He took over a bad team. I mean, I know they had talent, but they weren't a winning team, and he's won 10 games with them. So I think you have to give them credit. He turned Nick Foles and Mark Sanchez and anyone that can turn quarterbacks that are mediocre into very useful quarterbacks. I think that's a legit skill. We've seen it.
Not to worry. He's got Riley Cooper locked up for $5 million a year.
Bottom line, though, it is risky also to go into a season paying a running back $12 million a year. If they went to him and tried to say, let's do something here, and he wouldn't do it, they almost had no other move than to move. Than
well, that was
release this, him or trade him.
I don't agree with that. If McCoy had a good year and he ran the way that Chip Kelly wants his running backs to do it, which is a little more north-south, I think it was a lot about McCoy not really having a great season, not being great along the goal line. I think you'd pay him. It was only an $8 million salary.
There was something going on, though, because Bruce Arians on NFL AM said, oh, we we knew that this was well, there was something going on here. Right, that he was on the block.
Yeah, they were looking to trade him, but I think it was more about how McCoy played than it even was about the salary. Because $8 million is not that crazy. They have $50 million now in cap room. If he was one of the best two or three running backs in the league,
well,
they thought he was,
they
would
do that. Everything ties back to money, and I think this ties back to money in a large way.
What about Kiko Alonso, by the way? Do we want to talk about him at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, it goes beyond what both of you guys said, money and how he played, because LaDainian Tomlinson and Ian Rappaport both said LeSean McCoy and Chip Kelly, their relationship was strained by the end of the year. They just weren't getting along. McCoy didn't like Kelly's practice schedule and thought his legs weren't in good enough shape on game day.
I mean, with Alonso, Kelly's getting a guy that he's coached before that's shown he can be great at the NFL level. And Wes mentioned it. Kendricks and Alonso is going to be the identity of that defense. Those two guys in the middle flying around, I mean, that could be pretty fun. The thing I'd worry about if I'm an Eagles fan is, man, Chip Kelly has a lot of power. Like, we know he's a good coach, but I don't know that he's a good GM. They spent a lot of the last couple of weeks cutting guys that Chip Kelly signed, not just that Howie Roseman signed. James Casey, not big-time signings. Kerry Williams. Todd Harriman's was a Howie Roseman
Bradley
guy.
Fletcher, they had no interest in
re-signing
him.
Let's see. Chip Kelly's wildly aggressive. I think they're going to spend like crazy, and they're going to be a lot of fun
Who
to
can
watch.
Cut more of their own players, Reggie McKenzie or Chip Kelly?
What a battle.
From Buffalo's side, though, it's easy to see why they got rid of Alonso. They have linebackers coming out of their ears, and they want David Harris in free agency. So you've got Preston Brown and Nigel Bradham, who both played like above-average starters last year. And if they move to a 3-4, those two guys would be ticketed for the inside, not the outside. And then David Harris is also an inside linebacker.
And let's give credit to Connor Orr, our New Jersey-based correspondent, who was on this very podcast 2 days ago and said that Rex Ryan has the ability to get GMs to act, maybe not impulsively, but to make big splashy moves. And that's exactly what happened. Good job.
I mean, they,
you haunted soul.
Well, they don't have a quarterback. What was that one?
This thing on. Because it's getting ready to be
Rex Ryan calling the shot, man.
That is going to be especially funny in 3 years.
They should play that like when they introduced the Matt Castle trade.
Well, we're going to get to Castle in a second. When you don't have a quarterback, you have to make everything else as amazing as it can be. And on paper, at least, this Bills team with Rex Ryan and all that defensive talent and now adding McCoy to a skill position group that was already pretty fun. I mean, that is a fun-looking team in Buffalo.
Before
Greg gets too excited about the Bills, though, let's talk about the quarterback. Trade was agreed to.
It's only going
to
make me more excited.
On Wednesday, there was no secret the Bills have been looking to upgrade at the position or at least find an alternative to E.J. Manuel. They tried to get Josh McCown, but, you know, the Browns wanted him too bad, Mark. The Browns wanted to get McCown in their building, so they signed him.
Talk about a team that always swings for the fences.
So the Bills, instead, they would hit the trade market, and they land Matt Castle from the Minnesota Vikings in exchange for some deep draft picks in next year and this year. And the Bills now have what we assume is their starting quarterback for the 2015 season. Matt Castle will be the guy. Mark, you're shaking your head. Why?
Well, part of me a little bit is like, wait, you are the – this almost feels like when the Browns drafted Manziel, then the Josh Gordon news hit like 24 hours later. It's like, you have made the trade that has the NFL talking, and you're exciting. We were talking about Rex Ryan, LeSean McCoy, and then bang, hey, guess what? Your quarterback is Matt Castle. So all of Buffalo suddenly back in a major midwinter depression.
Greg disagrees, though.
You know, Tweedledum and Tweedledee over here, Wes and Sessler, are on NFL Now just killing this trade. How could they do this?
But of course we
this
killed
been
it.
This would
have
been a
terrible
by the way, thank you. TD, yeah, TD. Big bounce back.
They gave up nothing in the trade, so it's basically a free agent pickup.
Dan only cares about the sound bites. That's all he's. That's all that's mattering in Dan's
They're paying him the same amount of money or less that Chad Henne and Matt Moore and plenty of backups have made over the last few years. And it's my vantage, and obviously you disagree, that the difference, I would take Castle over McCown and Hoyer and even Jake Locker in their situation. I think Castle is a better option than those guys. But to my larger point, what is the difference between all those guys? They had to sign someone. They had to pick up a veteran. So if you're, you know, saying, oh, man, Sanchez, that was the way that they were really going to get it done. It's like,
no, hold on. We were killing every one of these quarterbacks. And all you're saying is he's the best of a bunch of terrible
quarterbacks. Sure, but you have to do something. You have to pick up someone. So I can't kill him for doing
that. If you love the Kyle Orton area in Buffalo, you're going to love Kyle Orton light. Because Matt Castle was benched for Brady Quinn 2 years ago. The Chiefs decided at the end of the year they would rather watch Brady Quinn.
That was a different situation. They were losing. They wanted to see what Quinn could do. Give him his first chance ever.
Right.
Castle was not working.
Which
there.
Tells you what they thought of Matt Castle, who one of my favorite quotes in Collision Low Crossers, Wink Martindale, the old Broncos defensive coordinator, said Matt Castle couldn't hit Black Beauty in a field of white mice.
I still don't get that.
Well, if he can't spot Black Beauty in a field of white mice, how's he going to find an open receiver?
Oh, so he can't – oh, he sees it. I thought it was more like an accuracy thing.
I think that's
vision.
Included in it, but, yeah, it's about reading the field.
It's hard to keep up with Wink.
Translation, he's not a good quarterback.
Right.
Idiotic things
yeah.
I have ever heard.
Wink Martindale.
Yeah, what a vanguard of quarterback evaluation talent that guy is. Where is he at right now? I'm just kidding.
By the way,
I don't know why I'm taking shots.
A lot of shots. The Tweedledee and Tweedledee. Greg, let's open the floor up for an apology right now. That was
I officially apologize. I guess I was
not offended by that.
I was preemptively attacking you guys because I knew you both hate
no,
Matt
right.
Castle with an
well,
un
behind
weird,
the scenes at the. At
we've
the,
already been arguing for hours about this
at the news desk before while. Right, while Mark and Wes were doing their NFL Now hit, and I was with Greg, and I wrote up the post. Greg even said, like, you know, because he was happy, he thought it was a good deal for the Bills, and he's like, oh, I know Wes is going to come back and, you know, bury this. And sure enough, first thing Wes gets back, he's something just taking down Matt Castle. So this was all in the stars.
Greg has this image of the Bills as a fascinating, fun team to watch. You can't pay me to watch Matt Castle play quarterback. They're going to be boring to watch.
Here's the reality. He was 5-4 with a lousy Vikings team a couple years ago, and he had a couple really good starts. One with, I think, 40 points against the Eagles, 400 yards against the Steelers. He's good enough to play 6 or 8 decent games. I think he's slightly better than the other
catch
quarterbacks.
Catch the fever.
Yeah, what are you going to do? But we knew that. There was no one out there.
All
right.
Go
trade for Mike Glennon. Go trade for Kirk Cousins.
Let's talk about a slightly better quarterback. His name is Peyton Manning. He's going to be on the Denver Broncos, most likely. ESPN's Chris Mortensen reports that Manning has agreed to take a $4 million pay cut, reducing his salary from $19 million. In 2015 to $15 million, which, Greg, we'll start with you. You were initially under the belief that there's no way that Peyton Manning would take a pay cut. This isn't confirmed. This is a report, but it looks like he might have, and perhaps that will clear the way for some signings for the Broncos, and they could shake and bake here.
Yeah, I'm eating crow on that one. More power to Peyton Manning that he would do this. I expect when we see the details that he'll be able to make the money back in incentives or some sort of bonuses.
So it's
but
not
we don't,
really a
and
pay cut.
I won't
No, that is a pay cut.
Now.
I mean, maybe he'll have to have a great season or have to stay healthy for 16. We'll see. I'm just saying we don't know the details. But more power to him. It helps out the Broncos. It's not like it's a bad move.
And it made sense all along.
And it was always unfair to me, by the way, just as an aside, that when Tom Brady signed those deals that were, you know, tricky, how you actually can figure out how much he was making, and Peyton Manning was painted as this selfish guy. You know, he's just getting paid. He's trying to get the paid most he can. Hopefully now people give the guy respect for taking a pay cut.
Well, what Brady did actually
years.
Take less money than a lot of quarterbacks
so
would have.
We're supposed to respect him now because he did something in response to everyone criticizing him.
Now, who
instead
said
of doing
that?
It on his own?
That's not necessarily
but that's
what
the,
happened.
That's the way you're painting the picture.
And
I think
Tom Brady's contract, as Greg, you were saying in the cafeteria today, he ended up getting plenty of money with his deal too. It's not like he was
still
insane.
A competitive advantage for the Patriots, whereas Manning's was not a competitive.
Brady's
advantage.
Was just a little misleading in that he did take more short-term money. It's like he got a raise on the initial years on the contract that was there, but then he tacked on years where he was a total bargain. And
quarterbacks in general are underpaid, so I don't think
right.
you can paint what Peyton Manning did for Indianapolis and what he's done for Denver. He's not made enough money.
Right.
So I'm not killing him on that front.
Not to mention the Papa Gino's or Papa John's commercials.
Oh, yeah. He'll make up that $4 million in two creepy commercials.
Yeah, to me, it's like, all right, what are your priorities? You're 38, 39 years old. You're only playing to win a Super Bowl. You've made more money than any player in NFL history. What are your priorities? Do you want to win a Super Bowl? Do you want to give your team the best chance to win a Super Bowl? Then take a pay cut.
Dan, you made an interesting point, though, that you thought the Broncos have had – Manning over a barrel, really, that they sort of had the leverage in this situation, which is interesting. That implies that they were ready to cut him.
I think they were.
They knew that.
Wow, that's really interesting. I just want to know more about
that. I don't think that they were prepared to cut him, but I think that they knew that what could he really do? They were going to back him in the corner and say, like, listen, take a pay cut, man. And then his options then were to ask for his release and start fresh at age 39 somewhere, or not, just take the money and force them to pay him, then you look like a selfish guy. I mean, I think they were in a good spot, and Manning had no choice but to copulate.
I think John Elway is one of the most headstrong individuals.
Did I say copulate?
In the entire NFL. He had no problem moving on from Tim Tebow.
Copulating would have been a weird move on this.
He did well. I have the real story.
That's it. You have a great point though on Elway.
Got juicy.
On Elway, well, the copulation, we had to at least.
Sorry, Mark. No, I thought maybe I should note that
I just think it's
talked
like,
about a sex.
I do think that the Broncos, if it came to an ugly, you know, head-to-head thing, they would have moved on from potentially. I don't think it's absolutely that they would have just let him dictate the scenario at all.
If John Elway was the kind of won a stare down like that, and he was ready to move. I mean, he really is the man. I don't know. He got Peyton Manning to go there. He's made a lot of
this one's for me
gutsy moves, but but making one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time take a pay cut and having sort of a game of chicken where they're almost threatening to cut him, that
if I'm Manning and they don't re-sign Julius Thomas, I'm going to be a little peeved about that.
Right.
I don't
well,
think
they
they're
have a, they have a lot of guys. Who else do they have? Orlando Franklin. They want to give Demaryius Thomas.
Orlando Franklin's gone.
A contract. Raheem Moore. Terrence Knight, and there's about five or six Broncos in our top 101 list, which, by the way, we've now put into a fancy new look on NFL.com, and you can go to NFL.com/free agency.
Checking that out.
Whoa.
Right now.
Let's check that out.
Ooh,
and
free agency.
Populate it. Moving forward, this is news that came down Tuesday evening. Monday evening, Andre Johnson has been granted permission to seek a trade from the Texans. The Texans approached Johnson and said, you're not going to have the same role in this offense anymore. You might catch 40 balls instead of 80 next year. Andre Johnson said, what? Trade me or cut me? And from what we're hearing, Greg, a trade's probably not going to happen. So Andre Johnson is going to end up hitting free agency finally after I feel like we've been writing Andre Johnson landing spot post for 2 years.
Well, Mark
now.
Did write one last year, and it holds up very well. If you read it right now, all the teams you put on the landing spots, Mark, pretty much all apply.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about this morning. Like for two or three years, Andre Johnson was talking about how he wasn't happy here and there, and now finally, this is the end of this partnership after 12 years or whatever. What's the laugh?
I don't know. I'm just laughing for no reason.
All right. That's good. That's good. It's a good podcast. So, Greg, Mr. Funny Bone, explain to us where Andre Johnson fits in the NFL landscape in 2015.
I think he'll get a – and this is sad to say because it's Brian – I mean, it's Andre – I think he'll get like a Brian Hartline. He'll be right around the Hartline in terms of
– ouch.
In terms of contract, which is like, what, $6, $7 million a year. I think he'll get more than Steve Smith got last year for sure. I think teams will look at him as a solid, legit starter. I mean, there's a million teams that would want him, right?
I think only certain teams really, though, would he ever entertain going to. It's got to be a Seattle Seahawks potentially, Greg's team, the Patriots, who Dan hates whenever he's mentioned in a free agent chase. Just, but
Pats always seem to come up whenever
because,
a big name comes up.
It's because when we talk about big names that are at the end of their career that want to win a Super Bowl ring, there's a short list of teams. You're not going to take a risk and go to the Bears.
Here's one that kind of I think is interesting. Dan's favorite team, the San Diego Superchargers. They're borderline contender. Phillip Rivers is a great quarterback. They don't have a number one receiver, really. I think that might make some
That's
sense.
That's good.
They have some
you
cap
have, Mark, you have a thought on this, don't you?
No.
On the Seahawks?
Oh, well, we just mentioned the Seahawks, yeah.
I was too busy looking up the Chargers roster.
Can he play anymore, though? I mean, there are numbers beyond just the statistics that per target he was one of the least effective receivers. He was targeted almost constantly in the red zone whenever Houston got down there.
He's not a good red zone.
He only had three touchdowns. Yeah, he's never had 10 touchdowns in a season. You know, so it's just one of those things where be careful, though, if you sign Andre Johnson and think you're getting 2008 Andre Johnson because you're not.
I think they'll be careful of evaluating him when, you know, Ryan Mallett and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tom Savage are throwing him the ball, that kind of like Steve Smith. But I think he has a little more juice left. And Steve Smith was a really good pickup for the Ravens overall. I think Johnson has a little more juice left than Smith did a year
ago. Even just 2 years ago, and it was short-lived, but him and Case Keenum looked good on some of those deep balls. I mean, they found a way to get him more involved when the right quarterback was in there.
No, I agree with Mark and Greg. You have to think about the quarterbacks, and it was his first year in Bill O'Brien's system. Maybe Bill O'Brien just didn't want to emphasize
it. Can he succeed, though, away from Case Keenum?
That's a good question. I think you could ask that about a lot of wide receivers.
All right. Let's talk about Troy Polamalu. NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported Wednesday that the organization, the Pittsburgh Steelers, believe the celebrated safety has played his last game for the Steelers, according to two team sources. The defender is not in the Pittsburgh's plans for 2015. The only question is how the exit will play out. Will he retire? Will they be forced to release him? And if that happens, will Troy Polamalu try to continue his career? Wes, is Troy Polamalu shot?
I think he is. And I think we saw that in the Ravens playoff game when he was watching from the sidelines as Will Allen, a journeyman, took his spot on the field.
Wow.
And, you know, I think he's just a liability in coverage now, and it's not his fault. He played with abandon his entire career, and his body's failing him.
I don't like that the Steelers want him to retire. I get where they're coming from. They want to put a nice bow on this and make it nice and neat, and he'll retire as a Steeler. But, you know, if he still wants to play, what about Dick LeBeau down in Tennessee, taking him and Ike Taylor and having them come in and teach that defense?
What is with the Steelers always, like, trying to force people to retire, by the way? You know, they tried to
do it. It worked with Bruce Arians.
They tried to do it with Bruce Arians, and then
That was stupid.
We read today, Ed Bouchette was, they're very hopeful that Polamalu will retire so they don't have to release him. But they have as many salary cap problems as any team in the league, and the deadline to get under it is Monday. So it seems like he's going to be released in the meantime. Ian, our NFL media insider.
I referred to him that as earlier, so on second mention.
Oh, okay.
Just call me Ian or Rapture.
Well, I hadn't mentioned it, though, so okay. I feel like right. I want to give him his due.
Okay.
There is an answer to the question.
He thinks that Polamalu will retire if the Steelers cut him, basically.
There's an answer to the question you asked. Why are the Steelers always trying to do this? They're not some mega conglomerate corporation running the team. It's a family-run team, and they consider this kind of stuff valuable that – his legacy would be only with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
This isn't some.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's why they do
that's
it.
That's a good
this
point.
Isn't some
Wes.
Dry cleaning operation on the corner. I mean, how much money are they making by now? They must be figuring it out.
They definitely put a lot of stock in their that this has only ever been in the Rooney family, and it's a family run. And I think the players know that.
Don't you think they have points on Kate Mara's acting career? That's probably got some dollars coming in.
That's a good point.
And finally. Randall Cobb and the Green Bay Packers. This is crazy. Mark, is this really going to happen that Cobb and the Packers are not going to get a deal done? Cobb's agent, Jimmy Sexton, has rejected the Packers' offer of a 5-year deal worth $8 million and between $8 and $9 million annually, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're getting closer to free agency, where a lot of teams are going to be very interested in Randall Cobb. Are they going to botch this? They got to stay together.
I don't know if it's a botch because it may not be the way that they operate. I think they just handed a giant contract to Jordy Nelson, who they don't want to have Cobb's contract, you know, supersede that by a big amount. It's a lot of money to pour into a position group. And if Cobb, you know, he's about to hit the free agent market and someone wants to go crazy and outbid him, and I think Cobb knows that teams like Oakland, Jacksonville, or what he could potentially break the bank for him, that he's not going to agree to a town-friendly, Green Bay-friendly deal.
I hope common sense prevails here. They need each other. The Packers have watched they've had the rate of attrition at wide receiver over the last 3 years where they've watched Donald Driver, James Jones, Greg Jennings, and Jermichael Finley walk out the door, and Davante Adams, Jeff Janis, Jared Aberderis, and Richard Rodgers walk in. Right.
Who was after Janis?
Richard Rodgers, Jared Aberderis, Jeff Janis.
That guy was made up.
That's the first Jared Aberderis mentioned in the podcast.
These are the guys who are replacing legends, and if you lose Cobb on top of that, to me, your wide receivers go from a strength to a liability.
Well, let's back off calling James Jones and Jermichael Finley legends here.
Well, I mean, you love James.
You were driving the Jermichael Finley train.
I'm just
saying we're calling them legends is all.
But Reggie McKenzie, who helped draft a couple of those guys, he may be the one to go after Cobb.
Well, if you're Randall Cobb, great. You sign a contract for $2 or $3 million more per year. You end up on a team going nowhere with a quarterback who won't be nearly as good as Aaron Rodgers. And you're the youngest free agent on the market. In another 4 or 5 years, if you stay with Rodgers, you got a chance for another mega contract. If you go to Jacksonville or Oakland, who knows what's going to happen to your market value?
It's going to be tough for guys like Ted Thompson who don't usually spend in free agency and they want to be fiscally responsible, because I think just new pay scales are going to be set this year. You have to forget what you think Randall Cobb is worth. He's going to make $12 million, and if you really think Randall Cobb's that important to your team, I mean, the Packers are $40, $50 million under the cap.
Well, and it's like the post that Dan wrote over the weekend on Vincent Jackson, where they didn't go for a pay cut with him, that kind of jacked up the wide receiver market right there.
By the way, circling back to the Peyton Manning thing, Rap Sheet, NFL Media Insider, Ian Rappaport, also now reporting that it's a $4 million pay cut. And it is not clear at this time, Greg, if there are any incentives to make up that lost money. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
I guess no one's crying for Peyton Manning's bank account or anything.
Yes, and that's what's happening. Hey, TD, is Bucky Brooks rolled in yet?
He's on his way.
Okay.
Bucky's on his way.
All right.
There he is.
By the way, all right, so we have a couple of minutes. Hey, by the way, you said this is a big podcast for Mark, Greg. Where do you stand?
I think Mark's been doing an incredible job at everything.
I think so, too.
I don't think so.
He's tried to do.
You don't think you're doing well?
No.
You're asking him a lot. You said you wanted him to carry the show. I wrote that down.
I don't know. Mark says he doesn't know where it was coming from, and I don't either. It's good to be random. Keep people on their toes.
I give myself about a C-.
I also threatened to stab you with a plastic fork earlier at the at the huddle today.
That got me thinking.
That really had nothing.
That could give you a ticket to HR, just for the record. I want to keep that on the down low. Well, while we wait for Bucky, why don't we just move on to our next segment? And we talked about Greg's big-time free agency rollout session that is all over the website right now. Let's talk about the biggest team needs in free agency, and we'll break this down into two categories, just the biggest overall needs, and we all, each of us for the Around the NFL group, wrote one that jumped out to us, and then also one, a need that's under the radar. So maybe nothing, you know, when they say under the radar, Greg, they mean, you know, not right on the surface.
Maybe not quite as obvious.
You know, not obscure necessarily, just under the radar. So we'll go through those. So why don't we start... Gentlemen, Chris Wessling, you are the scientist, so I'm going to throw it to you to get going here. You actually, because you – do you have two here, Wes? No, you just have one. All right, so your biggest need that you see right now for a team?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line, which is the worst in the NFL last year, and they're set to release Anthony Collins if they can't find a taker for him, per NFL Media Insider Ian Rappaport.
Rappaport got a lot of pop today.
Well, as he should.
Yes.
That will leave the blind side wide open for the number one overall draft pick at quarterback if it's Jameis Winston. So you've got no left tackle, you don't have a right guard, and you had the worst offensive line in the NFL last year. You can't put a quarterback behind that offensive line. And unfortunately, there are no great left tackles in free agency this year.
So what are they going to do?
Maybe try to shoehorn Brian Bulaga in there? I don't know. Orlando Franklin? Doug Free? Those are not attractive options.
That's quite a major need. Mark Sessler.
I look to Cleveland in the wide receiver position, and I think it puts a lot of pressure on Ray Farmer, the general manager, because last year he went into the pre-draft process squawking about how teams like the Seattle Seahawks don't need to draft wide receivers high, and that he held to that same philosophy. And then Cleveland, you know, with the first round that they had, decided to pass up the greatest wide receiver draft in many, many years.
I didn't even think about that.
So there's another good draft, but there's also a good crop of wide receivers. So, you know, outside of the concept of growing your own talent, they need to get better at this position right away, and it's uninspiring for Browns fans that out of the gate they're talking to Brian Hartline.
Cool.
If he's going to be a starter in Cleveland, that's as hard as selling Matt Cassel to the Buffalo Bills. You've got to do more than that, and they've got to hit. They have two number one picks again. One of those has to be a wide receiver.
Hartline's okay as a rotation-y player.
Sure.
As long as it all depends on the contract. If he's their third receiver,
and the quarterback,
I'm not going to get too worked up about it.
Your goal is not to make plays. Brian Hartline is your receiver.
I mean, what is their first-round pick, by the way?
12.
So you might be able to get one of those three. You know, DJ really loves Devontae Parker.
Been linked to them in multiple mock drafts, Parker.
I like that.
By the way, Brian Hartline's splits this season were some of the worst splits you'll ever see from a wide receiver. I think it was 16 games. Wes, can you help me with those 16 games? I think less than 500 yards.
It was like 453
474 yards. Yeah. He's played 6 years, and he's averaged 2 touchdowns per year as an NFL starter, that's not getting it done.
He was not a good fit for that offense.
Yeah, I take back what I said. You don't want to sign Brian Hartline, not just because of everything you said here, but because if you're going to spend money in free agency, this is a good year to get someone that's a legit player. Don't aim for the middle, because you're not going to sign Hartline and a top
level.
And
they have like $60
million. Right, exactly. This is the year to do it. They could draft someone, get someone, you got Hawkins in the middle, and then you're good.
Let me throw out one. The Chargers need a running back. Phillip Rivers threw the ball a lot last year, and he got hit a lot last year, and he's still a very effective quarterback, a great quarterback, but you need to give him some help. And Ryan Matthews, you know, he had that one really good year, but he's always hurt. He's a free agent now. I think you got to let him go out the door and go get a running back that you could put behind Phillip Rivers that you can count on. And as we know, this is a nice little year for some running backs in the fold. I like the idea, and I made a point of it in our write-up that I thought the Cowboys did a really nice job protecting Romo, another 30-something quarterback, with DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray, maybe he goes to San Diego and he becomes Phillip Rivers' security blanket. That's my biggest need.
I think there's been some worry from the DeMarco Murray camp, maybe what this market's going to look like for him, that he's such a star, but are they really going to be able to get him a star-like contract? But then you think about the teams that could be out there looking for a starting running back. San Diego, Indianapolis, maybe even Philadelphia. I don't know if they're going to want to spend a lot of money. Arizona. I mean, these are teams that could really use a between-the-tackles guy. That would be a great fit. I'd love to see the Chargers, who we didn't really enjoy as the team of around
Speak
the
yourself.
NFL. I didn't. I'd still like them to bounce back and kind of be that next. You know, they'll live up to it a year later. Kind of like our making the leap guys are always good 2 years later. Maybe they'll be more fun.
They were most attractive 2 seasons ago down the stretch when they were running the ball 40 times a game down people's throats. They knocked off the Broncos in prime time by doing that. That's when Matthews was excellent. They've got to get someone back in there. I agree with Dan.
By the way, I would like to sign Ryan Matthews.
I would, too.
I would like the Patriots to sign him.
I'm sure you'll get him.
Get rid of LeGarrette. Get rid of LeGarrette Blount. You know, that was nice. Get Ryan Matthews in there, or have them both.
Then bring Blount back in next December again.
Right, exactly.
I mean, come on. It's just like you're just going to get everybody you want, and then they're all going to revert back to their greatest form.
You guys act – it's not like they've been great at free agency. Wins. People have Revis on the brain. It's not like they've signed many
great agents. You climb right back up to your throne of ease as the minstrels play.
I do know that –
grapes are fed directly into the harp. Is strummed gently.
I do know that we are living on a throne of ease when I was texting with another Patriots fan today, and we were talking about how we kind of enjoy Rex and Buffalo kind of loading up like this because it makes it more fun.
You guys should all be in jail.
It does make it more fun. Rex is great
to have
around.
You have nothing to worry about. They just traded for Matt Castle.
You should be sent to Australia like the British ones.
This is why Greg loves the Matt Castle signing.
Yeah.
Just simply removes an AFC East contender.
8-8 for the Bills.
All right, under the radar need. So
I don't get to throw any need out there. You just passed.
Oh, did I not?
You just went Ryan Matthews.
I thought you you used yours up with your Matthews heat, but go ahead.
Oh, that's okay.
No, I didn't mean to do that. I was
gonna just do the most obvious. You know, kind of like Browns receiver, Chiefs receiver.
Okay.
Kind of overly obvious.
Zero touchdowns.
I actually had a contest at the desk the other day. If anyone could name who had the second most amount of snaps at wide receiver for the Chiefs last year, Chris Wessling got the right answer.
Stunner.
I already forget the answer because it was so...
Junior Hemingway, 260 snaps, was second on the team. And 260 yards by Albert Wilson was second on the team. And you're probably going to cut the guy who was number one on the team, Dwayne Bowe. So that's pretty ugly.
Greg was really surprised that Wes knew that. But then he's forgetting that Wes is a toaster legend.
Mm.
TD, everything going good over on that front?
You know it.
Producer TD, hashtag WWT. We need 3 to 4 hardcore contestants.
Getting a lot of contestants.
Yeah.
In.
How's Bucky doing, by the way? Is he going to make it today?
He is on his way. He texted me.
Okay.
You know,
might
Bucky,
be too late.
A lot of podcasts want him. He's like the podcast free agent right now.
This is kind of like his rock star move.
Yeah, no. He's, you know.
We're 21 minutes past his scheduled arrival time.
He's like, Castle, you're going to have to trade
for
him.
Throwing him under the bus. This isn't the way to get him to sign.
Does Bucky know that we just passed 10 million podcasts with this episode? I mean, is that the type of podcast you want to
miss? We'll let him know when he gets here.
Okay.
If he gets here.
Under the radar needs. And I don't know if I discussed this earlier, Greg. You have your obvious needs. and then you have your other types of needs that are way under the surface. It's right under that radar.
You went way under the radar. waiter with yours.
Well, I went pretty far into the radar, but let's start.
You took it serious.
I want to hear Dan's.
I take the job serious. All right. I like.
I'm just looking at Dan.
The Chicago Bears.
Ever since Earl Bennett left town.
The Chicago. Wait, why are you laughing at me?
You don't like Marcus Wilson, I guess.
Look at the Chicago Bears, who have two tall wide receivers, but somehow still have a limited offense, and I guess you could say Jay Cutler stinks, but a lot of people seem to think Jay Cutler is a good guy. How about you get somebody, a slot guy, that could go underneath and really open that offense wide open, and if you get one guy that makes everything connect the dots, that offense can go from a middle-of-the-pack unit to top three, in my opinion, with Matt Forte there also. If this new coaching staff can finally tame Jay Cutler, although I'm not necessarily holding my breath on that. How about a little Randall Cobb? You stealing that? I'm just
too many
that's
tall
a solution.
Receivers. You want a short receiver.
Okay.
That is under the radar.
I mean, listen, when you're, I'm getting bullied by dorky scientists, football scientists that come
I don't
up
think
from
it's
their
crazy.
Basements.
I don't think it's crazy because Marshall will be out of there. You put Marcus Wilson in as a starter, and you need a slot guy.
So screw you guys. Who's next?
Well, I'll try
yeah,
to
you
get
go
through
ahead,
this
Mark.
Without getting ripped to shreds. I feel like everything's not under the radar because all we do all day long is just read this nonsense from every team. But I'm going Oakland pass rushers, you know, and actually it's kind of a burning need. You've got Khalil Mack in your front seven who was outstanding last season. But Reggie McKenzie, we talked about this earlier in the show, already in the process of getting rid of the free agent bounty he picked up last year because there were a lot of whiffs. One of them, Lamar Woodley, he's out of the building. Justin Tuck, the two of them, you know, all this offseason nonsense about how they've brought these veterans in and this defense is going to be edgy. 22 sacks, a franchise low last season. You got to get some young guys to rush the passer.
I'm going to say, Mark, I will never laugh at your thing because I think that's rude, but I wouldn't call this under the radar. I feel like
Dan, I'm the only person
the radar.
In this room that did not dig my claws into you as your football analysis was unleashed 2 minutes ago, and your move is to turn around.
I'm just saying, franchise
that
low in sacks, 22 sacks.
I don't.
Obvious
your move
to
is
me.
To turn around and be that guy.
Well, there's a difference between taking criticism and being laughed at. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, obvious need for them, not under the radar. You failed. I'm sorry.
Not a lot of people are talking about the Raiders, but that's probably just in general, I guess.
Right, I'm just hitting out now, Mark. Don't.
No, it's evident.
Chris Wessling, whatever you say is wrong, but go ahead.
Well, I think it's evident that the Titans need a quarterback, but their fans are under the delusion that Zach Mettenberger is the answer, and they are joined by several high-octane football analysts who believe Mettenberger is some kind of franchise quarterback, even though he couldn't finish his last year at LSU, couldn't finish his rookie season, and frankly couldn't move the offense when he was under center. If they like Marcus Mariota, it'd be foolish to pass on him. Quarterback is a major need for the Titans.
At the combine, though, it sure sounds like Wisenhunt at coach and also Rustin Webster, who is Mr. Excitement, by the way, at GM. They both made it sound like, A, they really, really do just want a quarterback, and number two, that it was an opportunity that might not come again, or B, they're openly inviting teams to think that so they'll come up and trade with them.
I think it's that second part, which is weird because Zach Mettenberger is their starter. They're probably – I'm looking at who's going to sign Mark Sanchez, by the way. I don't think there's many options out there. Titans
swindling.
Are kind of the –
the Rough Riders?
The one team that still need a 1B starter option.
They need a 1A.
Right, they do, but that's how they see it at least.
1B. All right, Greg, finally.
Well, we can close with a bang, you know. But Baltimore might have won 2 Super Bowls in 3 years if they had a better secondary. You got Anthony Levine and Rashawn Melvin playing big-time snaps in a game where they outplayed the Super Bowl champion Patriots. Ladarius Webb might have to be cut because he's paid a lot of money. Jimmy Smith's coming off a thing. They have no safety, so get some.
Coming off a thing.
Get some defensive backs. What?
He's coming off a thing. I like that.
Mine was under the radar?
That
or not
cool.
Under the radar?
No, that was cool. I thought Greg's was great.
Outrageous.
Coming with off a thing. What is it? Torn Achilles? I was trying to remember. Liz Frank surgery. That's it.
Those were the under the radar.
Wow.
What?
The tension in the room, not under the radar.
I don't like to be laughed
man.
At.
Hey.
Exactly.
Hey, I
thought that was rude.
I apologize for laughing at you, Dan.
I didn't drop a Tweedledee and Tweedledum today.
I don't apologize for not laughing at you.
I don't know why you went after me, Mark, on this. I wasn't really attacking
you. I'm the one that didn't
you.
Go after
you. I know, but I wasn't attacking you, and I was just saying that maybe that wasn't under the radar.
I stopped listening like 10 seconds ago.
I stand by everything I said.
I demand a trial by combat.
What's going on with Bucky Brooks?
By the way, that's a better heat drop than the actual heat.
All right, we'll make that
decision. I'm saying. Bucky is taping NFL Now right now, so he's sad.
What?
And we're taping here. It's at 1:27.
He's guys like Howard Hughes.
2 p.m. All right. Power move right. By Bucky.
We'll figure out when we have Bucky on next.
Yeah. All right.
We'll make it work.
Apologies to the listeners who were expecting Bucky. Maybe we'll get him in later this week, maybe down the line.
Let's be honest. We just filled up a whole show anyways.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Oh, tremendous.
And save your tweets about us arguing with each other. We all like each other very much.
Save them.
It's a little fun. You know, having a little fun.
Says you.
I like, you know, a little creative tension.
That's
how you get the best work out of people.
All right. Let's see. What's up? What's coming up this week? We got another show on Friday.
It's going to post Friday morning. So it'll be a little earlier, and we'll have one on Friday. I think we're going to have a special guest.
Wait a
second. You want to make flowers today?
And we'll say no more than that. What about Thursday, on Friday's show?
How great would it be if we had that actress on?
Is that Matt McConaughey coming on the show?
Just tease it like that.
All right.
Wow.
On Friday, why don't we do some sandwich propositions?
Ooh.
Free agency.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. I like it. That a little free agency preview.
Mark's
not
your
thrilled
thoughts
about this idea.
Let's do it. Can't wait.
TD can't do any worse than the gold standard did at this one last
or than TD did.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, TD currently owes
Calvin Johnson. Ooh. 700 touchdown.
That's a good point, TD. Tomorrow, I think, is your time to pay up.
Soon enough, guys. Soon enough.
Man has no integrity. All right. So yes, we will play the sandwich. We'll go get my lunch. Curse word when we come back on Friday. Thank you for listening. This is Dan Hansis signing off.
Before we go,
yes. You got another drop for us?
Celebration song entry.
Ooh.
This is from Tristan from Australia, big time.
Tristan is great.
And here's a good one right here.
Little early period Daft Punk.
Yeah, Mark likes it.
I like that song.
That's a good song.
Chris looks like he's having a seizure.
I have no opinion on that song.
Oh, come on, Wes.
I don't like this one.
Oh.
I liked it.
It's a little too clubby.
It's a bit of a low-grade recording.
Here's the thing. Why can't we have a song that we like a song that actually kind of gets you fired up?
I will say.
It doesn't have to have the word celebrate in it. Why can't it be like a cool song instead of these old kind of corny songs?
Like Return of the Mac.
You love that one. We can mix that in.
There you go.
Right. I mean, we got to find the common ground, basically.
I think Pharaoh Monch. Pharaoh Monch.
No.
I like Daft Punk. Do you guys not like Daft Punk?
It was too clubby.
That was a jam, though.
That was great. I think that's one of the greatest dance songs ever. But I'm not going to force this through legislation. If people don't want it, it's fine. We'll find a better one.
I really have a genre called dance songs in my life.
All right. See, we'll figure it all out. Yes, we'll be back on Friday. This is Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, Tay D behind the glass, and Z Drizzle. I can see him back there. And Daft Punk. Until Friday. Oh, yeah. All right. Don't stop the dancing. One more time. I'm gonna celebrate.